God wants to, he wants to free us. He wants to liberate us. He wants the oil of his gladness to be our portion. He wants to take the joy of God, the fruit of his spirit, and put it in us and on us, Sister Annette. And he wants to help us, Sister Annette, with the load that we bear, the things we're going through. He wants to help us, even in the middle of captivity, of the places that are hard, the places where we're struggling, even with sin, and you're struggling with sin, and you're having a hard time. He can sympathize with your weaknesses. Why? Because he's the lover of your soul. He was tempted in all ways like you, yet without sin. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation. You will have trouble. But he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He has given us of himself. But remember, we talked 2 weeks ago about positioning yourself, about listening, about staying low, about believing, about entering into a place of worship where you send the joy out ahead of your issues that you're going through. And so the reminder is that in that trial, in that test, in that tribulation, it very well may produce your deepest understanding, your deepest wisdom, your deepest revelation of the cross and the power of the resurrection. Remember, we talked about James. Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials and tribulations, knowing that the testing of your faith is going to produce something. How many are going through trials? Come on, be honest. How many are going through tribulations and things and stuff in your lives? How many are dealing with issues in your body? How many have issues in your family? How many have issues at work with your bosses? I'd venture to say, if we were honest, within the course of 1 month, everybody would have their hand up. And so the reminder, the word of exhortation is, that is in my spirit, is that consider it all joy. How do you do that? How do you consider it all joy? Knowing that the testing of your faith is going to produce something. It produces endurance and patience. And he says, let it have its perfect result. Let it have its perfect result. We talked about repentance as a lifestyle, and we said that repentance is not a bad word. It's a good word. Repentance leads to time of refreshing. I said repentance leads to times of refreshing in your spirit. It leads to times when you feel refreshed, and when you come before God, and even in your struggle, you press into that place where the simplicity of just your devotion to Christ. David was broken. David said, my sin is ever before me. David said, my sin is ever before me, God. Is it Psalms 50 or 51? He says, create in me a clean heart. He says, wash me clean. Create in me a clean heart. There's several things he talks about. Restore me. Wash me. Purge me, cleanse me, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. David was broken. David was broken. God will meet you in your brokenness. I want to tell you something. The devil is a liar. He is the father of lies, and he is a liar. He is a condemner, and he is an accuser of the brethren. And I'm telling you right now that we see so many illustrations in the Word of God where people were down, people were struggling, people were going through issues of sin, people were going through issues of brokenness, people are going through issues of pain, stress, strife, fleeing from cave to cave, living on the backside of a desert, killed a man and fleed, had adultery and killed a man. I mean, there's so many things in the Word of God that you begin to read. And all the difference is that these men got themselves before the Lord and God helped them. God washed them. God cleansed them. God restored them back to a place. Remember, we said that there's no substitution for repentance. That when God puts his finger on something, he's calling you and he'll help you. He'll help you to deal with it. He'll help you. Remember, we said there's no substitution for intimacy. There's nothing, no one, nothing that can fill that place, that void of intimacy. You know, Sister Angela really blessed me tonight. I don't know if she realized how much she blessed me. I'm not glorying the flesh, but I'm just telling you. See, there's a sensitivity to the Spirit. And I think that when we're sensitive to the Spirit, see, intimacy with God, and you can write this one down, sister, intimacy with God will bring a sensitivity to His Spirit. Yes. Yes.
One more time.
I'll say it again. Intimacy with God will bring a sensitivity to His Spirit. And you'll find yourself with a discernment, with a wisdom. You'll find yourself with an understanding. You'll find yourself that God will help you where you're at because of the times of intimacy that you have. I'm like off my notes. It doesn't matter. The Spirit of God's flowing. Do you remember when the woman came and she broke the alabaster of perfume to Jesus? And the people around her were saying, you know, why this waste? Why this waste? Why are you going to prayer on Wednesday nights? Why are you reading your word? Why are you gathering with God's people? That's a waste of time. It's the Spirit that's in the world. And there were those around even that were close to that situation that said, why this waste? But she had poured out something very precious to the Lord. Your pouring out is not in vain. Your pouring out to the Lord is not in vain tonight. Your being here tonight is far from being in vain. God sees you. He sees you come in here. He sees you even when you come in here and you're dragging and your flesh is weak and you're pulling yourself in here and you don't really feel like being here. God sees you right where you're at. He sees you when you're tired and it's midweek and you're at home. You're like, well, should I go or should I stay? Should I go or should I stay? Maybe I'll stay home tonight and watch a movie. The flesh just needs to be a little bit, you know, tonight. Just like the Spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. God sees you when you come in here and when you gather with His children. And He is blessed that you have come and that you made it. We talked about there's no substitute for His Spirit. We talked about the Spirit of the living God inside of us that cries out, Abba, Daddy. A very intimate, precious term, Brother Rich. To have the Spirit of the living God inside of us that's crying out, Abba, Daddy God. We talked about that, remember? And we talked about the fact that we were created for fellowship and for worship. We were created for intimacy. Can I tell you that you are the apple of God's eye tonight? Can I tell you that you are the apple of His eye? Can I tell you that you are the whole reason why God sent His Son? Can I tell you that God sent Jesus because of you and me and the world because He loves the world? Can I remind you of that tonight? That you were greatly loved. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto you, Brother Willie, tonight. That you should be called the sons of God. That Willie, that you are a son of the living God. You are, that's my boy. He says, there's my boy Willie. That's my boy. That's my boy Willie right there. That's my boy. We talked about the big picture. We talked about the fact that there is a big picture. And I assure you, and let me tell you something, the later rain will be more powerful than the early rain. Please hear what I'm saying. There will be an apostasy. There will be a falling away. But the later rain of the outpouring of the presence of a living God is going to be greater than the early outpouring that happened at the birth of the church at Pentecost. Did you hear what I said? Things are going to get worse around you. They're going to go from bad from worse. Things are going to be difficult. There's going to be the Spirit in the world. There is an intolerance. I don't know if you mentioned it right now. There is an intolerance for righteousness right now and truth and much of the people that are going on. They're literally intolerant of you and of what you believe in Christ and just demanding to do and speak and think and march and proclaim what's done. And I tell you, it's going to get worse, and persecution is going to be an issue, I believe, in the last days too. Because remember I told you that I was in the midnight hours before the Lord. The Lord showed me many things that are coming. But we talked about that there's a big picture. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Trust him for your future tonight. Trust the Lord for your future tonight. Put your future in the Lord, in the hands of the Lord. He has a plan. It's a process. Amen. So, we're going to look at something tonight with the time we have. And I want to tell you something. Before I went into that time of a year and a half, or approximately 2 hours of sleep a night, I was in my back room worshiping one day. And I was worshiping God, and I was alone, I was being still. God has shown me several things, and God showed me something. I saw it. It was like, the way it happens with me, it just comes right through my head like a motion picture. And I saw a blacksmith with fire and coals. And I saw he had a piece of metal in his hand. And I saw that it was in the fire. And I was watching, and couldn't possibly be from me. It wasn't anywhere near I was even thinking, but it just came. And I saw this piece of metal go into the fire, and I'm watching, and I heard two words: forged and tempered. Two words came out: forged and tempered. And I was wondering, and I'm just sitting there, and then it came. The Lord said, do you remember when you were in the power plant and you had your little pocket knife and you were cutting the cardboard to open all the boxes to put the new parts on the turbine? And he said, do you remember how frustrated you were because your knife was dull and you were trying to cut those boxes and you were frustrated? He said, you go to the break room, remember? And some of the guys had really, really good knives. And they just would a couple times on the diamond and they were done. But you were in there, you were in there trying to get an edge on that knife. And this is going on like a motion picture the Lord's showing me. And I'm like, wow, Lord, what are you saying? And it wasn't long after that I went through a tremendous time. There are many things that I even wrote down tonight, but I really feel led to go to this and share this real quick. And I want you to realize this scripture that I'm about to share with you. It's in Isaiah 54. Because right after that happened, I came upon this and the Lord showed me. And it's in Isaiah 54, verse 16 and 17. And he said, do you remember the frustration of that dull little penknife trying to do things with a dull knife? And I came upon this scripture, and the Holy Spirit bear witness, and here it is. He says, behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for work. Now watch this. For I have created the spoiler to destroy. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Those words came out of the mouth of the prophet that was here that spoke over me. Little did he know that while I was going through the year and a half of sleeping 2 hours a night, every morning when I made it back to the room, I would sit and I would say those words. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. All those that rise up against me shall fall. Every morning I was speaking that word. And the prophet comes to the house and he says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. He says, the ravens are leaving. The beautiful songbirds are coming. It's interesting because Norma and I had been sitting out listening to the songbirds in the morning as we were praying. And it just made an impression to me. And I remember working in Dunellen one day and I was outside and this group of these crows came. All I could think of as Angela, these are neighborhood bullies. These crows would fly around, and they'd harass something or someone. some squirrel or some mockingbird, they'd harass, and those ravens would come over there, and I'm working outside all day doing the screen. This is all happening at the same time. And these birds are, and they all come running over there. And I thought, I said, I heard that word, you know, no raven. I said, be gone. Be gone whenever I see a crow. And yet I remember that the Lord said that he brought meat and bread with the raven to the prophet two times a day. So you got to be careful. You got to be careful. But to me, the word of the Lord was, the ravens are leaving and the beautiful songbirds are coming. And the word was, you will have great joy in your living room. And I was going through a tremendous time in my living room through the night hours. Tremendous through the night, every night. So, that scripture, verse 17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Now jump down into 55, verse 3. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. So, part of this thing that I was going to talk about as part of your devotion to Christ tonight was keep a heart of thanksgiving. I'm just going to touch them real quick now because no way I'm going to go into all this. But these are the points that we need to remember. Stay with a heart of thanksgiving. Four times in Psalms 107 that I mentioned last week, oh, that men would give thanks for the glorious things. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for the glorious things he has done among the sons of God. Four times in one psalm, that same verse. So there's many things to have to do with this theme of thanksgiving, keeping your heart thankful and staying thankful for the blessings of God. You've not resisted to the point of shedding blood, have you? Has your house been confiscated? Has your wife and children been taken off? Have you been put in prison for standing on a corner with a Bible? See, this week, it hit me strong. I was back worshiping, and for some reason, a spirit of intercession came upon me, and I began, it was strong in the worship room, and I began thinking about the persecuted all over the nation, and I began singing in the spirit and praying, and I began praying for the people all over the world that are being persecuted. As I'm sitting in my room worshiping, people are going through persecution all over the earth. And it was a spirit of intercession. I sensed it. It was strong. It was in the spirit. And God was just, and I began to just weep because I just began to remember what people are going through. And so I'm telling you tonight, you haven't been put in jail for your faith, have you? You haven't shed blood, have you? And so we have so much to be thankful for. And as you begin to count your blessings tonight, as you begin to count and what you're thankful for, keep that. Secondly, one of the things about the simplicity of your devotion to Christ is a divine perspective. Keep an eternal perspective. Look at people through the eyes and through the lens of the cross we talked about last week. See people through the lens of the cross, because if you don't, you're going to really get angry with some people. And the Word of God says, be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. So there's all kinds of things that are stirring around us. I also write down here, that there's plenty of things, but we're not going to get to. What came out tonight needed to come out. Amen? Amen. He says, learn how to say no and how and when to say yes, is what I heard in my spirit. Know your boundaries, know your priorities. People with the gifts of mercy and giving, be led by the Spirit of God. Because people with the gifts of mercy and giving can give and give and give and have mercy, 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 and tend to be taken advantage of through people who are enabled to take advantage of other people. So it's just something to think about, that the Spirit of God said, look, learn how to say no when you say no, and learn how to say yes when you say yes. There's nothing wrong with saying no when the Spirit of God tells you to say no, you say no. And when you think of a business like mine, when you're in construction, there's many times that you're just always trying to make plans and saying, yes, I'll be there tomorrow. But guess what, Brian? I don't make it tomorrow. And that really bugs me. It really, really bugs me because I like to be a person of my word. I like to say what I mean and mean what I say. And I say, I'm going to be there tomorrow. And then the schedule changes. Oh, while you're here, could you do this for me? It's natural. It's normal. But so know your boundaries. Know your priorities. I think of Brother Brian Kavanaugh. And I'm impressed that he's got his priorities right. We've asked him to be on the worship time a lot, and he says, no, I can't do it. He says, I can't do it. I've got priorities. My wife comes first. Just something to think about. Your priorities, the boundaries. Bless you. I was heading towards Revelation, but we really need to wrap this up tonight. But I really believe, now in Revelation, I will mention this. Revelation 3, one of the letters to the churches, and I read them all, and I have read them all several times before. He talked about buying gold that's refined, and he talked about getting some eye salve to put on your eyes. And I think that in our simplicity of our devotion to Christ, we're going to need, Sister Denise, we're going to need that eye salve, and we're going to remember to buy that gold for him that's been refined. And Peter talks about that, the testing of your faith, more precious than gold, the genuineness and the authenticity, the end result is praise, glory, and honor. I really feel, to wrap this up right now, that I want to encourage you, almost all of you raised your hands when I said how many of you are going through something. So the word of exhortation tonight is, look, let it have its perfect result. Let the end result be praising, glory, and honor unto God. Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces something. So that salve on your eye, when I prayed about it, the Lord said, it's not only so that you would know the true condition of your own heart, Sister Angela, is what he was telling me, but that you would also know the condition of the Father's heart towards you. And most of us, when we read that context, well, get some eye salve that you'll see the true condition of your heart. That's true. But when I pressed into that and prayed, the Lord said, yes, it's also so that you would put the eye salve on your eyes and you would see what I see. You would observe what I observe. You would see yourself as I see you. Wow. I wrote down here, we will never outgrow our need to find ourselves at the cross. We will never outgrow our need for repentance. 6 out of 7 churches were told to repent. Danger, we don't need to repent because of grace. And I was going to look at a passage of that where it talks about that. That's a danger when we think we no longer have to repent because we have grace, grace, grace. Buy from me gold refined in the fire, he says. Get some eye salve for your eyes, he said. Yeah. Amen. We have to stop. So what do we get tonight? What do we receive, Father? Whatever the Holy Spirit spoke to you tonight, I believe the most powerful thing was at the worship tonight, is that you came, and I believe, now listen, when you come to the altar, I want to give you a little something just to, in closing. When you come to the altar and do something like we did tonight, something happens in the spirit, you see. You may not know the full implication of what exactly happened in its entirety. But you see, your heart, because you surrendered and submitted and came and asked him to touch you, the Father is faithful to do that which beyond you can't even imagine right now. The very fact, Brother Brett, that you came up here and that you pressed in and asked God to touch you, the ongoing work of the Spirit of the living God did something here tonight, but it's not done. There's open doors now for the Spirit of God to do ongoing stuff. And Sister Ruth, it's just availing your heart before him. And there's so much in me I can't, but I've got to stop. Pastor warned me tonight to stop, and we're already late. I've been disobedient. So I'm going to ask both Brian and Angela, if you would stand and maybe take a moment and close us in prayer and think about what we just talked about. I know we didn't have much time because we had precious time other places tonight. And that's fine with me. I was prepared to literally stay here all night and not say a word. It would have been fine with me.
Thank you, Brett. Come on, give him a hand. Father God, thank you so much for this word that Brett has so faithfully given to us from your very lips, from your word, Lord. Would you all join me in standing up? We're just going to take just a couple minutes, and then we're going to close in prayer. Just to really seal what God has done, because he did do a good work at the altar here this evening. That, like Brett said, is an open door for the Spirit to continue that work. Father God, thank you so much for the work that you did in so many hearts tonight, Lord. We thank you so much for the continued work that will go throughout even the rest of this week, Lord. We thank you so much that you are faithful, you're just, you're loving, you're righteous, Lord. We thank you for those things, for those are who you are. God, you're the way maker, the miracle worker. God, you provide for us, you provide financially. God, we thank you so much for being our provider.
Something heavy on my heart from tonight was talking about that iSolve and just seeing people, other people at the cross. So I just feel like in this house tonight, I just want you to think of somebody that you might be having a hard time seeing in the way that God wants you to see them. And just, even if it helps you, just kind of put your hands over your eyes and just ask the Lord to just give you new eyesight for these people. Dear Lord, you just know our hearts, dear God, and you know our flesh, dear God. You know our thoughts, dear Lord, and you know every relationship we have, dear God. So just pray right now that you would just put people on our hearts, dear God, that we need to see differently, dear God. And we just come and we just repent, dear God, and we just ask that we would have your eyes, dear God. You died for everyone. You died for the whole world. So you died for these people. You gave the ultimate sacrifice, dear God. And I even pray that as we open our eyes when this prayer is done, the next time we see these people in the natural, that we would see something new. We'd feel something new in our flesh and our soul and our spirit, dear God. I pray for restoration of relationships. We just pray that you would just go into the areas of judgment that we've had over others, dear God, and that you would just go into the areas of offense that we have, dear God. And I pray that that salve would just go in and heal our eyes, dear God. Just bring us new eyes, spiritual eyesight, the eyesight of our Father, dear God. Just teach us how to see. We just allow you into that realm of our heart, dear God. And we pray for the complete work tonight that you've done in every individual, that it would not just leave this building, or that it would not just be in this building, but it would be in our homes. We allow it in our cars, in our homes. We allow it into tomorrow. We allow it into this week, and we allow it into others, dear God. We know that when you fill us up, the way that we get it back is by pouring out into others, dear God. Give us something to pour out, dear God. Let us to pour out as we leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen.